to Learning by Proxy with Vivek Srinivasan. Welcome to another episode of Learning by Proxy. This time, I'm going to be talking about a new space race. No sooner was the Sputnik launched that the space race between America and Russia started off. There was a lot of paranoia in America because they were far behind in terms of technology and they were nowhere close to making the kind of launches that Russians were doing. Two researchers from the Johns Hopkins University decided to monitor the satellite that the Russians had put in space. And they started tracking the signal that was coming out of Sputnik. What they noticed was the Doppler effect, and they saw that they could pinpoint the location of the satellite in the sky using Doppler effect. Another idea germinated. If we can figure out the position of a satellite using the signals that's coming from the satellite, would we be able to pinpoint the position of a receiver on Earth using satellites in space? And that's what gave birth to the Global Positioning System, or GPS in short. The Global Positioning System was a huge leap in terms of making location available for any particular ground-based receiver. And it was used to great effect by military. Initially, when it was opened up to public, there was a healthy amount of error that was added so that people could not get the exact location. What if another country was using the system and was able to use it effectively? What happened was the Korean Airlines flying from Dallas to Seoul went off course because of this healthy error and got shot down by Russians for having invaded their airspace. It was at that point that the Americans decided to open up the system in earnest, and it was Ronald Reagan who did this after the disaster. Most of the devices that use GPS today depend on the American Global Positioning System, which is a constellation of about 36 satellites across the globe. These satellites connect with the device that's on ground. At least three satellites at a time connect with the device to provide the exact location of any device on the ground. Now, it's one thing to use this for civilian purpose, it's another thing to use this for military purposes. So, the European Space Agency has its own constellation called Galileo. Russia has its own constellation called GLONASS. And China recently started building its own constellation called Beidou. India has been dependent on the GPS for a very long time. In 2013, India started building its own GPS called NAVIC. Now, in May 2023, this year, we put another two satellites additionally in that constellation to bring our constellation up to 9 satellites. Expectation is to take it up to 11 satellites and go on expanding it. As the constellation expands, the accuracy improves and the specific location that the constellation will be able to provide will go on improving. From the standpoint of ISRO, this has been a long-term project that they have been working on. In 2019, ISRO decided to try to put an Indian craft on the surface of the moon. And with that in mind, they launched Chandrayaan 2. Chandrayaan 2 failed. While it reached the moon, it did not perform as expected during the final phase of landing, and the craft was lost on the moon. This week, we went ahead and launched Chandrayaan 3, which is hopefully going to be landing on the moon on the 23rd of August. The Chandrayaan 3 carries the same rover that was there as a part of Chandrayaan 2, but they've made some changes to the lander to make it more robust and, you know, make sure that it does not fail this time. The launch went impeccably well this Friday at Sriharikota, and the satellite has already moved into orbit. At the same time, India has not been able to put a man in space in an indigenous vehicle. India has sent two men to space. The first one is somebody that every Indian knows, Rakesh Sharma. The second one was Ravish Malhotra. Both of them were Air Force pilots and they went up in Russian-built Soyuz T-11 crafts. India has not had a human-capable craft till date. But ISRO is building the Gaganyaan. The Gaganyaan will become the first indigenously developed space vehicle which will be able to carry humans into space. Truth be told, the really difficult part is not getting humans into space. The difficult part is bringing them back alive back onto the planet. The challenge really is the heat shield technology. As the craft descends back into the Earth's atmosphere, there's a huge amount of friction that is generated, and as a result of that, high temperatures are generated. And in order to protect any payload against those temperatures, you need heat shield technology, which India does not have. India has sent a ton of satellites into space. India has never had been in a position where it has to land it back again. And in a slew of announcements that were made post Modi's visit to United States, one of the things that ISRO is going to be working jointly with NASA on is the heat shield technology, which will make Gaganyaan possible. The expected date for the launch of Gaganyaan is 2024, and hopefully India will be able to put man in space with its own vehicle very soon. Apart from this, in 2020, India launched the InSpace program, through which ISRO has been helping incubate as well as support space startups. As of last count, India had more than 140 startups that have mushroomed in this space, and over $3 billion have been invested in these startups by various venture capital as well as private equity funds. So India is pushing along in a major way in terms of space. And on the other side of the Himalayas, you have China, which has been developing its own geopositioning system. China's geopositioning system, which is Beidou, already has 36 satellites. It's at parity with the US system that is out there. They have been able to do this in half as much time as India. India has been building NavIC since 2013. China started only in 2018. China has also been to the moon. They have already landed five times. They've landed three times, but they've sent five missions to the moon. And of those five, Chang'e 3 and Chang'e 4 landed on the moon with their rovers. And Chang'e 5 actually brought back material and sample from the moon back to the planet. In 2021, China started the construction of Tiangong, which is their space station, and in 2022 they added two more modules that makes Chinese human presence in space permanent now. So they have gone about and started building their very own space station, which they hope will act as a springboard from which they can send man to Mars as well as moon. Their stated goal is to actually become the first country to land a man on Mars. China's space program has been developing incredibly fast, and they've done an impeccable job of being able to make huge strides in that space. Even though ISRO has been working really hard in this area for a very, very long time. In the last 5 years, India as well as ISRO has decided to leave the satellite launch business to private entities and encourage them and start looking at the harder problems of space exploration and investing more and more capital in that. This is interesting, and this is a huge policy shift from ISRO's side. But the real problem between India and China is the budgetary gap. ISRO has an annual budget of about $1.5 billion, whereas the Chinese Space Agency has an annual budget of $12 billion. So as you can see, India is operating at 1/10 the budget of the Chinese Space Agency, and we're still making all of those great strides. But if India really wants to catch up with China and really wants to turn this into a space race, the government really needs to start putting its money where its mouth is. Let's see if India does that. With that, I come to the end of this particular episode. I'll come back to you soon. Till then, have a great week ahead.